Good morning. Well, now that you've seen the video, there's not much for me to say. It's covered the whole book. But I do have some thoughts that I believe that God would like us to think about today. Last week, Jim took us through the book of Psalms. It's a book with 42 chapters. Job didn't curse God, even though he was going through very trying times. We struggle with questioning God all the time. Why this happened or why that happened? Why is this happening to me? Why won't God give me what I want? But not Job. He accepted what God gave him as the will for his life. This is why Psalms comes next, I believe. We need something to guide us and comfort us in our times of trouble and our times of joy. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and we ask for your blessing on this time that we spend in your word, and we just pray that the words you want us to hear, we would hear, and they would have the impact you want them to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're looking at the book of Psalms. There are 150 chapters in this book, so it would take a long time for us to go through the whole thing. But that's not what we're going to do today. Our focus is going to be on unity. Unity of the Bible, unity with God, and unity among the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity of Psalms also, because it's united all the way through. In John 7:20-23, Jesus prays for the believers. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for them who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." It's all about unity. The Psalms are full of lessons, instructions, prayers on how to live our life, prayers on how to get along with each other, which can be difficult. The Psalms should comfort us and bring us together. Today's Psalm will be Psalm 133. It's one you might not recall. It's a little one. It's a short one. It's the fourth shortest in the Bible. I could use PowerPoint, but I'm not going to. I wanted to, as I read this and tell you the story, I want you to picture this in your mind so that we get a clear picture in our own minds what we believe that unity is. The first time I remember reading this psalm, when I wasn't just rushing past it because I was trying to get through Psalms, I was searching the Bible for a passage to use for a breakfast devotional with a bunch of guys that I was preparing this for way before Faith Fellowship Church was conceived. I was on break at work, and I couldn't find a verse anywhere. I've been looking for a month, and I couldn't find anything. I needed God to put this on my heart to talk about because I couldn't just pick it. I believed that God had to pick it for me. I didn't want to presume that I knew what God wanted me to say. So after a month of looking, I got interrupted a whole bunch of times, and I got back to where my Bible was, and it was open to Psalm 133. Unity was on my heart, and something that I thought that that group needed, and I believe that you're going to see that we need that too. I just want to say this too. I don't believe that every time we open our Bibles, the place we open to is exactly what we need. But that can happen. Now let's look at Psalm 133. This is the Psalm of Ascents, which was when all the people and tribes of Israel came together on the road up to Jerusalem for their required feast and worship. All of them, all in one place, all together, on foot, on camel, on donkey. They weren't complaining. They were walking for miles. They weren't bellyaching about things. The conditions and the weather, they didn't care about that stuff. They were on their way to worship, so they had worship on their mind the whole time. And it might have taken some people a month to get there, some people a week, some people a couple days. They were just joining together as they were walking. Now, let's think about this. Could you walk for days or weeks with your family, with your neighbors, with your friends, with your coworkers, with Steelers fans? I mean, how could that work? And you wouldn't, and not complain the entire way. You'd be carrying all your food, all your water, walking your sheep, your goats, other livestock that you need for food, and for sacrifices. And then what about bathroom breaks? They didn't have bathrooms. They didn't have truck stops along the way. They just had to stop and go. So it was totally different than what we have now. We just went on a mission trip. And there was 12 of us in a van. We were complaining about everything, complaining about traffic, complaining because it took too long at Wendy's. It didn't matter. We complained the whole time. Now, in Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head." In Exodus 30, 22 to 25, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Take the following spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil.'" And they were only to use it for sacred anointing. Other than that, they would be kicked out of the community. They could even die for that. Now back to Psalm 133. In verse 2, it says, "It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes." And the collar of his robes weren't just the top. Back then, they were talking about it flowed down to the bottom of his robes. Aaron was a priest for the people and served in the temple. We're priests also, Christ being our high priest. As priests have a responsibility to serve God by serving one another, we do too, because we are priests. What does that look like? For me, it's like this. Somebody calls, I go. Paul called me, he was locked out of his house. I get there, all his neighbors are outside, it's like a party going on. And I'm thinking, 15 or 20 seconds, I'll be in. 45 minutes later, I'm still standing outside and I can't get in the house. They got to call AAA. Or it could be like serving Pablo. I served God by serving Pablo. Pablo went to Romania, came back, but all his stuff was still here. So he had to unpack it from a storage locker, take it to my house, sort it out, pack it up, put it out for a yard sale, pack it up, move it again. He went away for a couple weeks, came back, packed it all up again. Now it's getting shipped to Romania. We spent 6.5 hours on the road the other day for a 3-hour trip. But we didn't complain. We just spent time together. And that's an act of serving God, spending time with each other, dropping the things that we had to do to help somebody else. It's like marriage. It's like serving my wife or my wife serving me. That's hard work, but we have to do that. We have to get along with each other, and we have to serve. It's unity. One other one. Come alongside people in need. One day I went to the grocery store, and this couple and a little child approached me, and they said, "We're trying to get to another state." I forget which one it was. It was out west somewhere. And we need this huge amount of money. And I was like, there's nothing I can do about that. I went in the grocery store, got my groceries. I went home, and I started talking to Lisa about it. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she handed over the money. And this was a pretty good amount. And I went back up to the grocery store, and they weren't there. I looked around, half a block away, they're sitting there on the curb wondering what they're going to do. I just walked over, handed them the money, and said, "Get where you need to go." That's serving God. That's serving each other. That's being a witness. What do you do to serve? Do you drop everything to go when somebody calls, or do you watch the rest of your movie? Do you finish your food? When somebody calls and asks for help, we're called to get up and go. That's how we serve. That's what unity looks like. You see that? I can't even get through the verse without getting sidetracked. In one way or another, the Bible is united from beginning to end. Psalms are united from beginning to end. Psalm 133:3 says, "It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Now let's go through this again. Verse 1, unity is good because it's from God. We like good gifts. We like things that are good. Good gifts come down from the Father above. Unity is pleasant because it pleases us. For brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity is not only good and pleasant, it's a great witness to win others to Christ. John 13:35 says, By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know the song. They will know you are Christians by your love. I'm not going to sing it. Nobody has to leave. In verse 2, unity is described as a precious oil flowing down from Aaron's head, running down on his beard, overflowing and covering his garments. The oil covered Aaron, not like water that you could wipe off or dry off and get rid of. It clung to him. It clung to his clothing, almost making them one. It just doesn't go away. Oil is just slimy, so it can't go anywhere. Our love for God causes our love for one another to overflow and bring us together in unity, just like the oil covering Aaron. In verse 3, it says that Hermon is a great mountain, over 10,000 feet tall. It's known especially for the massive amount of water that flows, or the massive amount of dew that's created, and it descends down upon Mount Zion, which is a very small mountain in comparison. The picture here is how excellent it is to dwell together in unity, which is like that dew from heaven descending on Zion and covering it and clinging to everything, making it one in unity. Now, the oil and dew come down from above and flow to other parts. They cover, they saturate, they run down. Our unity is from above. It's a good gift. It comes down from the Father. It brings us together. It makes us one, even though we are different in every way. We are as one in unity. At the end of verse 3, it says the Lord commanded. And he didn't just give it. He didn't just allow it to happen. He commanded the blessing of life forevermore. We can benefit from this joy in life forevermore, but there's something we have to do. We're sons of God, which makes us brothers of Jesus. If we submit ourselves to the leading and will of God through His Spirit, behold how good and pleasant it is to dwell, for brethren to dwell together in unity. So the whole thing's about unity. It's about being together. It's about serving each other. In closing, I want us to develop a habit of reading 5 Psalms a day, every day. If we can read 5 Psalms a day, or that puts us through Psalms through the whole book in 1 month. If we do that 12 times a year, or we've read the book of Psalms 12 times. If you miss a day, you just pick up on the verses you left off for that current day. I keep this in my Bible, and it's a list of the days and what that would be. So today's the 12th, so if I missed yesterday, I would just read Psalm 56 through 60. And it gives you a clear picture of what's going on in the Bible and can help you a lot. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Reading Psalms through once a month gives you answers or thoughts for most things in life. Psalms is a good picture of the Bible from beginning to end. Now I want to make this really practical. I'm going to tell a story, and it's a story of Sinbad. It's not his real name. It's a guy that we met on a mission trip a while back. We went to Ocean City, and we were preaching on the boardwalk, and we kept seeing this guy. He had on big puffy pants and a shirt that looked like a pirate shirt, and we just called him Sinbad. He was the most evil person that we saw walk. I mean, you just knew that you didn't want to talk to him. It wasn't like you could just walk up and talk to Sinbad like I could walk up and talk to Paul or Lance. He was just evil looking, and nobody wanted to talk to him. And previously in this week, we already had 5 people run from behind and try to attack our leader. And it was just a long week of stuff like that. So we kept seeing him, and finally we walked up and we started talking to him. And he's like, "Oh, I know the Bible, I know all that. You can't tell me anything new." And we had our little New Testaments with the Psalms and Proverbs in them, and we kept going through the verses and trying to tell him. And he'd walk away, and we'd see him a little while later, and he would say, "I already know that, just go away." And we'd keep on trying to have him read the verses and just know how he could get saved. And on the last night we were there, we're out late, We missed our curfew. We sent the kids back with one or two of the leaders, and three of us were walking. And we caught him again, and we just wanted to get this guy saved, and we didn't know what to do. And we were just trying to do it all in our own power. And we walked up to him again, and he said, "Wait, just stop. I'm going to go kill somebody or get killed in 10 minutes. So I have like 2 minutes. I need to know what each one of you has to say as to why it makes a difference. I know what it says. I know that the Bible says you have to know Jesus to be saved. I know all that. But that doesn't mean anything. It just says that. What happened in your life that made you figure that out and understand it?" So the one guy said something. He took about a minute. The girl that was with us said something else. And I just looked at him and I said, "I think I might know where you're coming from. There was a time, a real low time in my life, where I thought I was doing great, but God didn't think so. And I drank too much that night. I told my pregnant wife to, 'Let's go. We're leaving. I'm going to drive you home.' Basically, I crawled across York Road and told her to get in the car. She said no. And here's where the unity comes in. She made a phone call. Somebody dropped everything and came and picked her up and took her home. Didn't let her get in the car with me. That person also called somebody else who came and picked me up and drove me home. And on that drive home, he explained, I'd already been a Christian for years. He explained something from Colossians to me that I understood, and it made sense, and it connected the word in my heart, and it changed my life forever. My family's here because I didn't drive them home that night. I could have killed myself, them, or somebody else." That's what I told this guy. He dropped to his knees, and we prayed with him. He accepted the Lord as his Savior. We couldn't have done that on our own. God knew what he needed. He knew what he needed. It just came from us. So when it says, be ready with the word, we have to have that word in our heart. That word comes, I mean, in Samuel, David commits great sin. But in Psalms, he asks for forgiveness for it. The Bible's connected all the way through. It's all about unity. We have to have the Bible in our hearts. We have to know from beginning to end what we're going to talk about. And if we read Psalms 5 times a day or 5 verses a day for the month, we've read it, and it's not the whole Bible, and that takes a long time. We know that. We're doing it. We're going through that this year and next year. But if you can get a clear picture in Psalms, and if you do Proverbs once a day, it's the same thing. There's plenty there that you have something in your mind that you can use. And then you just have to have life experience that'll explain that to somebody. So with that, I'll close. Just remember, it's all about unity. Unity among us, unity with God, and the Bible connects us to God and that unity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it can do to our hearts. I pray that anybody here that doesn't know who you are, they would just come up and talk after this service. There's something in here for everybody that will help them understand who you are and why they need to have you as their Savior. I know there's plenty of people here suffering and pain, and people are dying all around us at all times. Don't die without knowing who Jesus is. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have an opportunity to respond.